We have got over Ahab finally, and anyway, Jehoshaphat is now ruling in Judah, and things seem to be going well there. Anyway, in chapter 19, it says that he's doing well, he's doing good. And even though he did do some things that were not appropriate. Anyway, in chapter 20, just some bad things start to happen. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 1, "And it came to pass after this also, that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon and the others besides the Ammonites came against Jerusalem to battle." Okay, so why is things going bad all of a sudden? You know, over in chapter 19, it says that he had done good things, but anyway, in chapter 19 and verse 2, "And Jehu, the son of Hanani, the seer, went out to meet him." This is Jehoshaphat as he's come back from the battle in which Ahab was killed. "And said to King Jehoshaphat, shouldst thou help the ungodly?" He helped Ahab in this battle. "And love them that hate the Lord. Therefore is wrath upon thee from before the Lord." And I believe it doesn't specifically say that, but I believe this is why this is coming. That wrath was upon him. Anyway, verse 2 of chapter 20. I blew somebody my Bible the other night and I got the pages all stuck together. Verse 2, "Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea, on this side Syria, and behold, they be in Hazazon Tamar, which is in Gedi." Now, I don't think these were spies or anything like that. I think this was just people that were from the area, and they saw them there. And it says here, great multitude. Well, that's not good. Of course, we know that in chapter 19 it said that was God's wrath was upon him, and here comes this great multitude from beyond the sea. This is the Dead Sea on this side Syria. In other words, it was below Syria, and on they were coming from the east coast of the Dead Sea, and they were in Gedi, which is on the west coast. They were right up going into Judah. Now, Gedi is about halfway down. If you look at a map, I have a map, but it's not very good. I mean, it's good, but it's hard to read. But anyway, if you have a map in your Bible, which a lot of people do, and you look at the Dead Sea, Gedi is about halfway down or halfway up on the east or the west side of the sea. Anyway, that's where they were coming instead of coming over land. Now, there was a reason for that. Now, you remember when Jehoshaphat was first became king in Judah, he set all the garrisons and the fortified cities and stuff between him and Israel, the nation of Israel. The kingdom of Israel, not the nation of Israel. I keep getting them mixed up because you try to keep the whole thing separate from the divided kingdoms. Anyway, so all of his forces, all of his supplies and everything like that was up north. And they were coming in about the middle, approximately, of Judah on the side there. So he didn't know what to do. In verse 3, and Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. Now, he's doing right now. He's doing right now. Jehoshaphat, he's a good king. He's done some things he shouldn't have done, but it says he feared. And I don't think he was feared just for himself. I think he was fearing for his country and his countrymen, that this great multitude was coming against him, and he had no defenses set up against that. And he set himself to seek the Lord. That's the first thing he did. That's the way things are supposed to be. When something happens in your life, and something is causing you to fear or worry or concern or something like that, you set yourself to seek the Lord. See what he would have you to do. And we forget that a lot of times. You know, we think, I can fix this or something. Not right. He was in a position here, he knew he couldn't fix it. Yeah, everything that could go wrong has already gone wrong. And he set himself to seek the Lord. And he proclaimed a fast throughout all Judea. So we had a study on fasting here not too awfully long ago, probably about 6 months or so ago. And it was very informative. If you want to go back in some of the videos and go back over that, this would be a good time to do it, because it's important. And that's something that I don't think we do enough nowadays. Is fasting. Fasting and prayer. And he proclaimed a fast throughout all Judea. Not just with him and his family, or not just him and Jerusalem, or not him and Jerusalem and Engedi. The whole country. The whole country. All Judea. So, turn back to chapter 19 for just a minute. And verses 3 and 4. Now he has reason to think that God might help. Because here Jehu, the son of Hanani. Now you remember Hanani. Now he was the guy, the seer, that came to Asa and told him that he had done wrong. And what did Asa do? He put him in prison. So I don't know if Jehu had any idea what was going to happen to him when he stood up before him and said that seriously, I helped the ungodly and loved them and hate the Lord. Therefore is wrath upon thee from before the Lord. Nevertheless, verse 3, nevertheless, there are good things found in thee, in that thou hast taken away the groves of the land, and he prepared thine heart to seek God. And Jehoshaphat dwelt at Jerusalem. They went out again through the people from Beersheba to Mount Ephraim and brought them back unto the Lord God of their fathers. So he's done good. He's repented of the bad things that he's done. And he's done good here. Okay, back in chapter 20 and verse 4, and Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. So the whole country turned back. The whole country had forgot their differences. Now, we live in what could be a great country. I mean, it's I'm going to say the best one now on the planet. But if we did what verse 4 says, and all Judah or all the United States gathered themselves together to ask the help of the Lord, what could we accomplish? With the Lord's blessing, of course. Of our own, we can't do anything. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord from everywhere. All over the creation. Anyway, back in chapter 19 and verse 4, I'll just read it. You don't have to turn back. And Jehoshaphat dwelt in Jerusalem, and he went out again through the people from Beersheba to Mount Ephraim and brought them back unto the Lord God of their fathers. So this is what can happen. The whole country was praying. The whole country was together in one accord, so to speak. And they were seeking help from the Lord. And the Lord is where our help comes from. You know, we might think sometimes that somebody, say, Brother McCool's vehicle has a mechanical problem, and he comes over to my house, and I tinker with it a little bit. I guarantee you, at this stage of my life, if it's not for the Lord helping me, I'm not going to be able to help him. And, of course, him working on a car at all, you know, that has to be of the Lord. Anyway, it got fixed. So our help comes from the Lord, in spite of who you might think it is. I was thanked, and, thank the Lord. He's the one that gave me the ability to do what little I did. And he was the one that gave Brother McCool the ability to do what he did. Anyway, in verse 5, and Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court. Now, this is at the temple. Now, I don't think it was inside the temple. It says in the house of the Lord before the new court. Now, you remember we talked about Jehoshaphat setting up judges. Okay, he set up judges throughout all Judea. So every one of them had a judge. And there were judges for civil matters, and there were judges for spiritual matters. And some think that this is the court that it's talking about, before the new court, meaning the courts that were just set up. And I believe if that's the case, then this must be the spiritual court. Now, others think that this is just the courtyard or the area before the temple where the people came to worship. And, I don't know which it is, but it says the new court. And, since the new court would seem to be talking about the new judges that were appointed, that's what I'm going to go with. Anyway, it's not the courtyard. Anyway, verse 6, it said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven, and rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thy hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? So, I'll tell you what. Let's go ahead and read verses 6 through 12, and we'll go back and make comments on them. And I'm going to start with verse 6 again. And it said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven, and rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend forever? And they dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, If when evil cometh upon us, as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house, and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. And now behold the children of Ammon, and Moab, and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade, when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us, to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. Okay, in verse 6, God is God. He is the one that's in power. He is the one that's in control. He is the one that, he's where we get all things. All the good things that come to pass in our lives. Now, we know in the New Testament, Scripture says all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. So, yeah. And in many cases, through his forbearance and long-suffering, the ungodly benefit too. But he says here, you're the God of our fathers. Art thou not God in heaven? Sure he is. And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? Now people think, you know, we got a king, so to speak, you know, a president. And they think that he's in charge. No, he's not. He's there as long as the Lord wants him to be there. God rules in the lives of men. Always. And in thine hand is there not power and might? Now, I've known some pretty mighty men of God. I've known some strong men that, you know, were pretty puny when it comes to spiritual matters. But I've known some pretty mighty men when it comes to spiritual things. And in his hand is there not power and might? Our pastor gets up here every week, every time he's up here, and he delivers the message that the Lord has given him to the best of his ability, and where his power comes from is God. We need to remember where our power comes from. You know, I can work out on the treadmill for several seconds a day and lift weights or do other exercises and stuff like that, and maybe I'm going to become a little stronger physically after much effort. But spiritually, I need to seek what the Lord would have me to do. And we should all do that. And then the last part of verse 6, so that none is able to withstand thee. Nobody can stand up against God. God is God. He's not a God. He is the God. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is over all. And this is what the people said. And then they go on even farther in verse 7. Art not thou our God? Isn't that great? He's our God. I think everyone here this morning is saved. That means he's our God. Hallelujah. Who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel? Now you remember whenever they were they came out of Egypt and they didn't have any place to go. Well, there was a lot of things that happened between then and the time that they went into the promised land in Canaan. And he said, you drove out the inhabitants of the land before your people, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend forever. So, the seed of Abraham. Now, many people put a lot of confidence in the seed of Abraham, and you'll read about it in the New Testament. People say, you know, we're children of Abraham. And what did What's the Lord say about this? That I can make seed Abraham out of these stones. So, we need to be, we are, those of us here that are saved, we are the seed of Abraham. God, He has blessed us with so many blessings, and He calls us here, thy friend forever. That's what the people say, that Abraham is his friend forever. Now, Abraham was long dead by this time. So they in their minds, they had, you know, he's still God's friend. We need to be God's friend. We need to do what he would have us to do. In verse 8, and they dwelt therein and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name. This is the temple. They built a temple there to worship the Lord, saying in verse 9, if when evil cometh upon us as a sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house, and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house. This is the temple of God. This isn't the temple of Abraham or one of the other forefathers. This is the temple of God. And cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. Now many of these things they're talking about here. If evil cometh upon us as a sword, many times the Lord has used the sword of another nation to correct Israel. And judgment. Okay, sometimes God has to judge a nation that doesn't do things the right way or does bad things, and we've seen a lot of that, especially in Israel. Israel's a nation, not the kingdom. Anyway, and pestilence. We saw a lot of pestilence and famine. So, all these things we've seen, and sometimes they come from the Lord. And since He is in control, actually all the time they come from the Lord. But, when the people turn back to the Lord, it says, and we stand before this house, and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. We turn to the Lord. We need to turn to the Lord always, in any kind of affliction, any time of sorrow, any time of need. We need to turn to the Lord. Verse 10, and now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir. Now, we know Ammon and Moab are countries that had caused them troubles before. Mount Seir is talking about, basically about what we would call now as Arabs. Not necessarily a specific nationality or anything like that, just in general. Whom thou wouldst not let Israel invade. Now, I don't know if you went, we hadn't studied about that in Exodus for a good while. Matter of fact, I can't remember the last time we did study about that, but there were some countries that the Lord said that they were not, supposed to go into. And, the reason being that, He gave that land to the children of Esau. Now, we're not going to go in depth to that, but turn to 1 Kings chapter 8. I'm going to do real quick verses 33 and 34. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 33 and 34. When thy people Israel be smitten down before the enemy, because they have sinned against thee, and shall turn again to thee, and confess thy name, and pray, and make supplication unto thee in this house, then hear thou in heaven, and forgive the sin of thy people Israel, and bring them again into the land which thou gavest unto their fathers. So, this is a promise. This should have went with verse 9, I believe. Yeah, I missed it, sorry. Anyway, yeah, you know, you turn to the Lord. and the Lord is going to take care of you. Now, and anyway, Israel obeyed the Lord in the last part of it, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. They didn't go in to these other countries and destroy them because, you know, it was of the Lord. He gave that land to the children of Esau, and they were not to touch it. So they didn't destroy it. And they, I don't know, it sounds like maybe they're trying to justify themselves a little bit, but don't we all kind of do that from time to time? You know, I did this or I did that. You know, Lord, I know I'm trying, Lord. Well, sometimes we need to quit trying and just do. Do what the Lord would have us to do. Anyway, verse 11, behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. So, you know, I don't know whether they're doing this on purpose. It sounds kind of like, you know, they're trying to blame the situation a little bit, at least, anyway, on God, you know, because now look how they reward us. We didn't destroy them, and now they've come to steal away the possession that you gave us to inherit. So, now, Gil says here that it was evil for good. It was, there's places in the Bible where it talks about, you know, people that call good evil and evil good, but this is another thing. This is talking about they were not destroyed because the Lord said to leave them alone, and now they're coming back to try to destroy Judah. Anyway, verse 12, and our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. Now there's a whole lot we can study on verse 12, and we might end up with this today. O our God. Again, he is our God. We are his children. O our God. Wilt thou not judge them? It's in his hands. It always is in his hands. We sometimes, we've got a mighty country here and stuff like that. But, you know, without the blessing of the Lord, we couldn't stand against anybody. And especially the condition our country's in nowadays. Wilt thou not judge them? They were, I'm sure, going against what the Lord would have them to do. You know, he gave them that land, and Judah, as far as they were concerned, was living peaceably there with them. And so they decided, well, we're going to go and take this land. It was never theirs, but they were going to take it away from Judah. For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Now, we don't have any might against anything. You know, when we live in a country that, I don't know, it's getting pretty bad. And when you think, it can't get much worse, and something jumps up, and it is. So don't ever think that again. If you're the one that's doing it, don't ever think that again, because it can get worse. And unfortunately, I believe it's going to get worse. But we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. If you go out and you try to talk to people about the Lord, and let's say one of us brothers gets out on the corner at Market Street, and we start preaching and reading the Word of God, I guarantee you it won't be long. There's going to be a great horde that's going to come out against you. You won't have any power against them. Now, if the Lord wants you to do that, you're going to be able to stand. Look at how many times the Apostle Paul, we've been studying about him in Acts, And if you haven't been paying attention to that, y'all be ashamed of yourself. It's been a wonderful study. But anyway, look at the times that the Apostle Paul was stoned. He was left for dead. He was thrown in prison. And did he quit? No, he didn't even slow down. Neither know we what to do. Okay, and like I said at the start of today's lesson, you know, all the stores and stuff like that were up north, and probably with the number of people coming against them, that wouldn't have helped that much anyway. But anyway, he said, we don't know what to do. But they do. And this is what they do. That our eyes are upon thee. Now, anytime that something is fighting against you, anytime you have a problem, anytime you have trouble, whether it be financial, physical, medical, whatever it is, you don't know what to do, put your eyes on the Lord. That's where our help comes from. That's where our power is. And I'm going to read one more verse, and we'll end the lesson this morning. Verse 13, and all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones and their wives and their children. Stood before the Lord. And we always stand before the Lord. We just don't realize it all the time, but they did. They were there at the temple. They were outside the temple. They were being instructed in what to do. Jehoshaphat is praying this long prayer. And I'd like for you to go back over it again, because I know it's hard to catch all this. But go back over it again. Then all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones. And their wives. You notice the men were there. Men need to be in the house of the Lord. Men need to be spiritual leaders of their household. And in many cases, they're not. Their wives and their children. Well, didn't I already say the little ones? This means children, offspring. It doesn't say how old they are. If you're somebody's child, you're somebody's child till you die. So this, I believe this means adult children. Those that are from that family. Their progeny. That's a big word for me to use, but anyway, we will start up with the battle and start up with verse 14 next week, Lord willing, and find out how this all turns out. Anyway, everybody kind of stay tuned, and Pastor's going to be preaching soon.